Amen. Hey, once again, we are an exciting topic. It's called what? Freemasonry. That's right, Freemasonry. And if you guys know what we basically did before this, we finished 66 weeks on occult societies. Now, why would we deal with that? Why would we deal with occult issues?
It's in the Bible.
That's right. It's in the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament. You ever said that? And so, hello, if you're going to learn all the Bible, you got to hit these things sometime. And so basically what we did is we moved on from occult issues, related issues, to our first occult secret society, because that's really what Freemasonry is, okay? And so we started with that, with our basically what I call the shot across the bow, a Christian morning. If you say that you're a Christian and you're part of this group, you better repent, run, and get right with God. You have no business. This thing is satanic to the core. It's a false gospel leading people to hell, and that's about as blunt as you can get. You need to get out of there. And praise God, we've already had responses of people doing just that. To God's glory. But then we took a look at the history of Freemasonry, right? Where's this thing coming from? How did it get not just in the world, but even in the church, right? This is crazy. So we took a look at that. Then we took a look at the beliefs of Freemasonry just to basically prove the point. Hey, this isn't just me being a wacko conspiracy guy. Freemasonry completely is antithetical to biblical Christianity, not even close. And you cannot merge the two. Again, get out of it if you're even hinting or a part of it, okay? Then we took a look at these symbols of Freemasonry. Speaking of the occult, just like we saw with witchcraft, Satanism, voodoo, shamanism, druidism, the occult, this is a typical practice, they codify their beliefs in symbols, okay? And shocker, you got an occult secret society, so what's Freemasonry do? The exact same thing, because it's all coming from the same exact root, as we saw there. And then we saw, as we journeyed through the different symbols of Freemasonry, okay, we saw that, guess what? They are everywhere, right? Everywhere. But you didn't see it because you didn't know that was a Freemasonry occult symbol. So that's why we went through that. Then we took a look at the leaders of Freemasonry. Okay, who's promoting this thing besides Joseph Smith? We had a whole half study showing that a lot of the so-called secret rituals in Mormonism was just ripped off by Joseph Smith from Freemasonry because he was a Freemason, right? No secret about it. The guy's a liar, okay? And he certainly knows better now. Unfortunately. And then so we took a look, well, who else besides Joseph Smith was promoting this thing? Well, we saw the big guns, Manly P. Hall, okay? And isn't that a great advertisement? Man, don't you want to be a Freemason around? It's like, but again, you saw with the occult, the dark, and hey, been there, done that, wish I wouldn't bought the t-shirt. The more you go down this route, the darker it's going to get, man. And it will reflect even on the outside of you as they're on the inside of you. Eliphaz Levi, again, the guy who's brought in with the Baphomet, we'll see that again tonight. Also, Albert Mackey was another big leader, and so was Albert Pike, okay? And these guys, as we saw, are everywhere. They launched it, and not just these guys, but they started different branches of Freemasonry in America. And that's what we saw last time, the different branches. And they're out there, not just in America, but around the world, seducing governments and people alike, steering things behind the scenes, okay? And so last time, if you recall, we dealt with, okay, the English Freemasonry. And again, that's where it started, over there in Europe. Okay, and then when this Revolutionary War, and they said the British are coming, well, guess what? They brought Freemasonry with them as well. So it hopped upon. But the one in English, their biggest one, not the only one, the biggest one, though, is called the United Grand Lodge of England, or UGLE, for those of you hooked on acronyms, if you remember that. And they control a large population of the planet. It's called the Commonwealth of England. That's a big chunk of the planet, folks. As we saw, a ton of the British royalty is heavy duty in the Freemasonry. I wonder who's making the decisions. Then we hopped upon and said, well, what about over here? Well, thanks for asking. I work well with my notes. American Freemasonry. Now, there's a bunch of different branches of American Freemasonry. We hit the highlights of a lot of them. As you can see, man, they just kind of split off into all different kind of subsections. We're going to see more of that tonight. But the first branch that we dealt with was called the Scottish Rite. Right? That's a big one that a lot of people are familiar with, the Scottish Rite. It's got two jurisdictions. You got the Northern and the Southern. And they have a motto. They have a motto that may sound very familiar, including with current events that rhymes with a plandemic. The motto is order out of chaos. It comes from these guys. You create a crisis, you manage the outcome. That's how they operate their agenda. This came from Scottish Rite Freemasonry. Secular knowledge, folks, they even know this. So again, I wonder who was pushing that last agenda that we've had to deal with and we're still dealing with. Where'd that mindset come from? Then we saw not just the Scottish Rite in America, we saw the York Rite. It was named York Rite because it was supposed to be in honor of the city of York over in England where they had the first Masonic meetings take place. And they've got it broken down into three categories. You got the chapter of the Royal Archmasons, the Council of Royal and Select Masters, and you have the highest degree because you work your way up the ladder, all these things. The whole point is it's a religion, a false gospel that you can work your way up to the Grand Lodge of the Sky, right, is their mindset. But you could work to their top level, and their top level is what? The Knights Templar, as we saw there. And the Knights Templar, they have an emblem. It's the crown and the cross, okay, which, as we saw, was also just so happens to be a part of the founders of the Jehovah's Witnesses, the exact same symbol. And we saw in our Jehovah's Witness study, that's not a surprise because they're involved in Freemasonry as well. Then we saw also the Red Cross. What? What's up with that? The real name, you could look this up, folks. The real name of the Red Cross is the International Red Cross and the Red Crescent Movement, as in Islam, Allah, and things of that nature. Okay, and that's not by chance either. Then we saw that another branch in American Freemasonry was the Prince Hall Freemasonry, and this is basically the Black African Freemasonries, and so they're pulling those guys in as well. Then we saw the fourth one, which a lot of people are familiar with, and they pitch themselves as the fun guys, the fun Freemasons, the Shriners. And we saw the Shriners change their name. Their name used to be Ancient Arabic, keyword there, Arabic Order of the Nobles of the Mystic Shrine. And after 9/11, when it wasn't popular and cool to have anything associated with Islam, the Muslim community, they got sneaky, as they always do, the occult does, and they changed their name. And they focused on the Shriners or Shriners International. And they pitched themselves that these are the guys, they're a circus, and they got these hats, and they're here just to do the Shriners Hospital and help kids and all that stuff. No, they're not. These guys, as we saw, the reason why they wear the fez, it's called a fez in honor of Morocco, and those hats were red, worn by the folks that the Muslims who slaughtered the Christians, they dipped their fez hats in the Christian blood. That's why they're red. That's why they got the Islamic crescent and the Islamic sword and things of that nature. And these guys admittedly worship Allah. And we saw it on tape last time, if you recall. These guys think that Lucifer is a great guy. It's on tape. This is not a Christian organization. And all these guys hide behind, well, we're just a do-gooders club. You're going to see that again tonight. No, you're not. It's a false gospel, okay? And these guys are part of a Luciferian secret society. And you're going, okay, come on, Pastor Billy. You're going off the edge again. These guys, you're in this conspiracy. You've been talking to David too long, right? Okay. These guys, again, they're just, it's something to do, you know, guys get involved, right? And they're going to help society out. And no, they're not, folks. It really is a satanic, and I'll say that, satanic secret society with their secret handshakes, secret means, whatever. And guess what? When you try to blow the whistle on them, you get on their hit list. Like this guy, watch this.
33rd degree members of the secret order of Freemasons.
Freemasonry believes in brotherly love, relief, and truth as a way to make good men better.
The main premise is we're all equal. It's as simple as that. Yes, there will be people who do different roles, but fundamentally, we are all the same.
In all Masonic lodges, signs and symbols are everywhere.
They help you reflect and realize, fully understand what's right from wrong, to be charitable and mindful of the needs of others.
In the lodge, a rough stone known as an ashlar represents the as yet unformed initiate.
So when we have taken the rough stone and educated and polished it up, we end up with a perfect stone, and that's what we hope all the brethren will become.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people.
Wonder why he was taken out, and to wonder by whom. Folks, this is not a joke. These guys are real. They're all over the world. You're going to see it even more tonight. And they really are working things towards their satanic Luciferian agenda. And it just so happens to be the very things that only the Bible is the only book on the planet that does this, tell you this is the Antichrist kingdom. It's a false gospel. It's a replacement of Christianity. They think that through the teachings of Freemasonry, this is how you're going to make it to the Grand Lodge of the Sky, doing their rituals, trying to be a good person over and over again. It's a false gospel. But speaking of the Antichrist Society, these guys are also some of the biggest pushers of a one-world religion, which is another plank of the Antichrist kingdom. It's not just New Agers. It's not just the Pope. I mean, the false prophet. I mean, the Pope, whoever that guy is. It's not just them. The core of Freemasonry. And these guys are everywhere in the world. You wonder why everybody's got this mindset that can't we all just get along? We all worship the same God? No, we don't. But it's coming from Freemasonry. And I want to give you another example of that. This is from a 33-degree Mason, and he admits what they have on their altar, right? Watch this.
Freemasonry respects the faith of all men. Here in our temple room, this is our main altar right behind me here. And on it, you will see five books of faith. In the center is a plain old ordinary King James Holy Bible. Now, it does have a Masonic square and compass on it, no doubt. In the upper right-hand corner, you will see the Quran. That is the holy book of Muslims. Down here, this is the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch is basically the first five books of the Torah. So it is the five books of Moses. It is a holy book for men who are of the Jewish faith. Then over here, we have the Lotus Sutra, which is a holy book for people who are Buddhist. And up there, we have the Gita, which is a holy book for people who are Hindu. When a lodge is open, in other words, when men are in here participating in a meeting, there's only one book on the altar, one book of sacred law. And that one book is generally reflective of the majority of the men's religion in the room. So if the room is full of Christians, it's going to be the Holy Bible. But if the room is full of Muslims or Hindu, it could be the Quran, it could be the Gita, it could be the Pentateuch, it could be any of these books.
Where is this whole movement all of a sudden of people wanting to all roads lead the same way to heaven, all God, it's all, okay, different routes of getting there, but it's all the same. Where's that coming from? It's not just New Age. It's not just Catholicism, the Pope. It's Freemasonry. These guys are everywhere. And dare I say, listen, even in the church, you see this false teaching, right, about all paths, even in the church. And I think a lot of it is because there's a lot of Freemasons in the church. And I shared with you before my direct encounter of that, my very first senior pastorate. When I was preaching, I was 1 month into that new position, and I was preaching on just the uniqueness of Christ and that he's the only way, right? And all other religions on the planet either teach that you are God, you got to become God, you got to work your way to God. But only Christianity says, no, God sent his son to die for you in your place. There's nothing you could do, right? And he, this guy, this pillar in the church, he went nuts. He got irate with me. And I wouldn't budge, of course, because it's not scriptural and whatever goes round and round. And finally, how did it end? You remember the story I told you? He looked down at me because I'm vertically challenged, but he was a big guy too. And he says, I've seen a lot of you come and a lot of you go. That's okay. And I was like, man, this guy's off base and he's supposed to be a pillar of church. Later I find out he's involved in, guess what? Freemasonry in the church, folks. And I think that's where a lot of this mindset's coming from. You better do your homework and you better pay attention to who you allow to become a member. We'll see that again tonight. But again, they are not just a do-gooders club, raising money, building hospitals for kids and all this stuff. That's a smokescreen, folks. They're all working together towards a secret satanic agenda to bring in the New World Order out of chaos. They create chaos on purpose to advance their agenda that they think is a great thing, that we need to follow Lucifer, right? And we're going to bring utopia to the planet. That's what they're working towards. And again, this is happening because of the branches of Freemasonry. These guys are everywhere, which brings us to the third branch we're going to deal with tonight, and that is women Freemasonry. And apparently they want to make sure that everybody gets involved in this satanic agenda, including the ladies. But as always, before we get into that, let's remind ourselves once again why nobody, let alone a Christian, should ever be a part of this satanic organization called Freemasonry. Open your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Now, I'm actually excited for you guys because this is James chapter what? So now don't get too big-headed, right? Don't get too boastful, right? As we're going to see, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, right? But you may just want to share, if we're still alive and still here on Sunday, to your fellow brethren that, hey, we were in James chapter 4. we got to actually go to chapter 4 in our lifetime. You didn't. You should have been there. Whatever. But anyway, I digress. But James chapter 4, 1 through 10, right? And this is very applicable, believe it or not, as we're going to see, to Freemasonry. And again, the theme that we're seeing is you can't merge the two together. You got to be separate. You can't have this mentality, we can all work together. No, you can't. And James uses some very, very strong words to those who think you can. Okay, and he does not mince words. James chapter 4, 1 through 10 says this: what causes fights and quarrel among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it. You kill, you covet, but you can't have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You don't have because you don't ask God. Stop right there. People will take that verse I just quoted out of complete. See, the reason why you don't have is because you don't ask God. And when you ask God, you got to ask one time in faith. And if you got enough faith, you can get whatever you want. Excuse me? You completely ripped it out of the context. And by the way, keep reading. You don't have because you don't ask God. And by the way, when you ask, you don't receive. Why? Because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Because you're being selfish and self-centered. What are you doing? No wonder God's not going to give it to you. And what's Jesus say? You want to be my disciple? What's the first thing he says? You need to learn to what? Deny yourself. It ain't about you anymore. Me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. But then he goes on. And he says, what? When you live like that as a professing Christian, it's all about self, what you want. And if you don't get your way, I don't care where I'm at in the church, out in the world, I'm going to, because it's your way. And you want to, you adulterous people. Ooh, here comes the strong words. Don't you know that friendship with the world is what? That's a serious word there, folks. Hatred towards God. I never hate God. You live like this, that's what you're saying. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of this world becomes a what? Oh, wow. Thought hater was bad. Now you're a what? An enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that the spirit he, God, caused to live in us envies intensely, but he gives us more grace? That's why the scripture says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he'll come near to you. Wash your hands. Watch this, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded dipsukos. Remember we saw that earlier? He used that in James chapter 1? Yeah, whatever. Anyway, I remember that. Anyway, grieve, he says there. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Now, how many guys would say these guys are in trouble? Now, again, what was the cause of such a strong reaction here and strong words? Well, it started off with when you basically walk around professing to be a Christian and self is on the throne. It's all about you, what I want. And then you want it so bad, and hey, guess what? You ain't always going to get what you want, but that's when the fight's on. You're living like that as a Christian? Oh, whew. Right? And the second thing he says, when you're basically not just a selfish professing Christian, but a worldly one. Okay? And what he's talking about here, we're going to see in a second, isn't just worldliness like you like the worldly things. That's part of it. But really what he's talking about is you're acting like the world. You're believing, behaving like the world. You're chumming up with the world. And you're supposed to be a Christian. We're in the world, we're just not of the world. We're supposed to reflect Christ, not what he saved us from, this wicked world system. And that's why he uses strong words. He says, listen, you live like this. These two things, you profess to be a Christian. You are committing spiritual adultery. You're giving your heart to somebody else, yourself, which is an idol. You love yourself. And that's what the world says. Love yourself. Or this wicked world system. The very thing that God saved you from, you're going to go give your heart back to it. You're an adulterer. You're prostituting, the scripture would say, yourself. What are you doing? Then he says, on top of that, you're acting like you not only hate God, but you're an enemy of God. In fact, the enemy there in the Greek, it's ektheros, and it means to be hateful, to be hostile towards. And what's the context? When you live like this, whether you realize it or not, and by the way, this is what the world says to do. Every day we get out of bed, you turn on the TV, you go anywhere, you go to school, you listen to secular anything. What's the whole march? You know, as they say, life is all about what? Learn to be a better you. It's all about you. And it's all about this world getting as much things and this and that. All that, well, that. God says you live like that and you profess to be a Christian, you're committing spiritual adultery. And you're acting like you say you love me on one side of the mouth, but then you basically live like you hate my guts. You're acting like my enemy. And again, what you need to understand is cosmos, what he's talking about here, world, being a friend of the world. It's not just worldly things. That's part of it. And I quote, It means the world system or world order, listen, consisting of people whose beliefs, values, and morals are in opposition to God. And that can go for just about anything. Yes, Freemasonry could be the Alphabet Gang, could be this one world religion movement, right? Could be anything that is in opposition to God is coming from this wicked world system, which ultimately comes from who? Who's in control of this wicked world system? Satan, the little g, god of this world. And that's why he says, man, you're in trouble. You sit there on the one hand, you say, oh, I love Jesus. But if this is your marching orders for every day, really what you do, I mean, you might fool man, but really you're walking around saying, I hate you, God. And my lifestyle is hostile to you every day. And you think God's going to bless that? You wonder why things are messed up? You wonder why things ain't going well? But I'm telling you again, what I want to stress is the world is not just things, because that is materialism, consumerism. That's our patriotic duty, is to buy stuff, right? There is that aspect to it, but it is what? It's when you chum up and you really submit yourself, not to God, but worldly beliefs, worldly values, and worldly morals. It puts you at odds with God. You're hostile to God. And that's why James says you need to submit yourself to God and resist this devilish thing. And God will come near you, right? But believe it or not, this is what is happening, folks, not just in the world. Again, this is happening in the church. And I am convinced that Freemasonry is rampant, not just in the world, but is in the church. And because of this mindset, this worldly mindset, values and beliefs that's completely contrary to God, they're warping, and I'll just say this, professing Christian churchgoers, maybe they're saved, I don't know. I don't know how you could stay in this institution for very long if you're confronted with the truth, because it is not biblical Christianity. But what they're doing is they're getting people in the church to be haters of God, enemies of God. Okay? And we're going to see that. And again, part of it is because of the branches. These guys, I'm telling you, are everywhere, including in the church. They're everywhere. If anything, you give them an A+ for evangelism. And really, they put many churches to shame. Right? And again, the first one we're going to take a look at is, again, we already dealt with, of course, the English one, the American ones. Now we're going to go into the women Freemasonry. Now, I don't have time to get into all of them. I'm going to hit the two big ones tonight on this subsection. And the first one is this one, the Order of the Eastern Star. Okay, you may be familiar with that. Okay, now notice, it's not just a star. What's it happen to be in the shape in? It's a pentagram. And that's not by chance. We went back to the leaders with Eliphaz Levi. He's the one that brought this in with things of that nature. And again, what you'll see, if you notice, it's either the Order of Eastern Star or OES. And you see this everywhere, especially the one on the left. You see them on headstones all the time. As we saw before, basically, folks, when you see these things on headstones, go to any, I challenge you, go to any. You don't want to do something this afternoon? What am I going to do this Saturday? Well, go to a cemetery. Right? Learn a great lesson. And you walk through that cemetery, folks, anywhere in the United States of America, you're going to see the bulk of them has Masonic symbols on them. The men with the compass and the things there, and but also in the square, but the ladies have this Eastern Star. And this is a works-based false gospel. So again, when you see these things, especially on tombstones, when you're walking by, basically what that headstone is screaming out to you, I'm in hell. They don't put the cross there. They don't put, I trust in Jesus Christ. That's the reality of what we're dealing with here, folks. This is why we're teaching this. This is not a joke. It's not a secondary issue. It's a salvific issue. And if people are trusting Freemasonry to get them to the Grand Lodge in the sky, they're going to hell. But that's what these symbols are. That's what they symbolize. They're false beliefs. But let's get into this Order of the Eastern Star. Of course, it's a secret society, and this is from secular reports. The OES, the Order of the Eastern Star, is a secret society similar to Masons. They come from Freemasonry, and it's full of, quote, mystery and intrigue. However, quote, the Order of the Eastern Star maintains that it's not a secret society. Yet you do things in secret. It's just, but they say that all the time, as we've seen throughout studies. Oh, we're not a conspiracy theory, right? Remember that guy when he talked about the secret handshakes? And they, on the, remember the interview, secret handshakes? Well, and he immediately said, oh, it's not a secret. There's no secrets. Okay, can you tell us what it is? No, I can't tell you. You guys lie to you and right through your teeth. It's crazy. But that's what they say. So the emblem, as you saw, was the five-pointed star, right? This bad boy here, okay? And there's letters around it, fatal, F-A-T-A-L. Well, that's motivational. That's only revealed the meaning of it to the members of the order. But what they want to say is it's based on the five so-called biblical figures. And this is for the ladies, basically a ladies' version of Freemasonry. And here's how they want to spin it. They say, well, one of the points represents Adah, Jephthah's daughter from the book of Judges, and that's supposed to represent virtue and obedience. Then they have another one supposed to be Ruth from the book of Ruth, representing the virtue of religious principles. Then Esther, supposedly from the book of Esther, and representing virtue and loyalty. Then Martha, the sister of Mary and Lazarus, representing virtue of endurance and child. And then they're just making this stuff up. Electa, you know, Electa, that's not in the Bible. Well, they kind of got that out of the elect lady from 2 John, so you know, you just got to make it up. Anyway, and that's supposed to represent virtue of endurance of persecution. So there's supposed to be all the symbolism behind it and all the things that it's supposed to symbolize and things of that nature and just that. But it is a group that was started in the mid-1800s by a guy named Dr. Rob Morris, and he developed the rituals and creeds of the order, and it's all Masonic because he came out of Masonry and he basically just took the Masonic rituals and made the ladies' version in a nutshell. And according to their website, though, don't worry about this, you know, we are here for charitable, educational, fraternal, scientific purposes to promote the moral values, personal goodness. Is anyone good? Romans 3, man, no, not one. No one is righteous, no, not one. Right? Personal goodness, building an order that is dedicated to charity, truth, and loving kindness. And so, see, there's nothing to worry about like we saw last time. These guys, it's just a do-gooders club. They're here to help people as they pitch. Watch this. This is part of their lies.
Hello. My name is Dirk Hughes, director of the Michigan Masonic Museum and Library. The appendant body of Freemasonry we'll be talking about today is the Order of the Eastern Star that reinforces Masonic principles that we discuss in this video series. The Order of the Eastern Star was originally conceived of by Freemason, poet, and educator Dr. Robert Morris in the mid-1800s. Dr. Morris yearned for a way female relatives of Master Masons could benefit from the character building and self-improvement strategies practiced within the Masonic lodges.
Members of the Mount Olive Grand Chapter Order of Eastern Star of Texas are in our audience today. Here to talk about their upcoming grand session. Okay, that's a big name for a lot of things that you all do. So state your purpose.
Our purpose is to make the world a better place. Mm. It's to help those in need and just be available for any purpose.
There are a lot of things that you all do. One, of course, is scholarships to graduating seniors.
Yes, ma'am. We have an oratorical contest that students come and participate, and everyone is a winner.
Yeah.
So if you participate, everyone gets a scholarship.
We'll pay for you to be a Freemason. What? No, wait a second. How come they get airtime on TV? Locals, how come we don't, do you think they're going to call somebody? Hey, Sunrise, we want to have your ladies' Bible study. We're going to get all the ladies together. We're going to interview you and tell us all the great things you're doing for the Henderson community. You think that would ever happen? No. Not on your life. Where's John? John's not here. He's in the secret meeting. John had an interview. John had an interview. Well, it's membership time, so you know what that means. Yeah, whatever. John had an interview. This week, and him and I had a meeting last night, so he's telling me about all the things he said. And of course, the Christian, he's pumping in Jesus this, Jesus that, salvation this, and all the Bible this and Bible that. And we were joking, like, I wonder how much they're going to cut. So he showed me last night when we got done. They released it on Channel 3 News here in Vegas, and basically they completely gutted it. And I tease him, I says, well, at least you made it past, hi, my name is John. But there was not one. I mean, I don't know how many times he referenced the Bible, Jesus Christ, and he says, every single bit of that was taken out. You got to work at that. But you're going to allow these guys up there? This is a joke. But that's how they pitch it. Oh, we're just great for the community, whatever, and things of that nature. Now, the purpose, when you take a look at it, is completely antithetical. They want to pitch it. It's got, you know, quasi-biblical language and biblical symbolism, whatever, but has nothing to do with the Bible. It's completely antithetical to the Bible. Let me give you some examples. First of all, if this is true, that this is somehow able to work with Christianity, Then again, why is there so much secrecy? Jesus, everything he did, because he is the truth, right? Sharing the truth was always done in public. He didn't hide it. He didn't have secret handshakes. So if this is the truth and this is equatable to Christianity, then why is it always done in secret? Because that's what you do. You do this stuff in secret. He did not create a secret code word or a secret handshake to a select few that had to go through rituals. He made himself and the truth available to all. The order also specifies requirements that you must meet before you can even be adopted into the Order of Eastern Star. And guess what? You got to have some sort of tie with Freemasonry, right? And the candidate must have a belief in, quote, a supreme being. And this is from their official website. Members of all religions may belong to the Order of the Eastern Star. Is that Christian? Absolutely not. Again, what's it goes back to that core issue, the Antichrist issue. The Bible is the only book on the planet that tells us where this ultimately headed, this mindset. One world government, one world economy, mark of the beast, cashless society, and a one world religion. The four pillars of the Antichrist kingdom. These guys are promoting it, right? Members of all religions may belong to the Order of the Eastern Star. That's not what the Bible says. Acts 4:12 says what? There is no other name under heaven by which men might be saved. Jesus Christ, that he's the only way. John 14:6. So how can you sit there and say, oh, it's, you know, and that's what they do. They pepper some biblical phrases and make it sound quasi-Christian. They don't even get that right. And then they merge it with all this stuff. And then it's allowed in the church. It's nuts. Now, besides denying the exclusive nature of Christ's salvation, the Order of the Eastern Star, this is why when you see them on the headstone, they're in hell. If they believe that, what they teach, it teaches that they are, quote, essentially good, and this is from the Order of Eastern Star, and they place a heavy emphasis on good works as a means of earning a relationship with the Supreme Being. And again, the Supreme Being is whatever you want it to be. So that's a double no-no. There's only one God. And he's not compatible with all the other false deities out there. And do we earn our way to heaven by works? Any works? No, what's the Bible say? No, our works are as filthy rags, Isaiah says. Are you kidding me? Right? And on it goes. So again, and then what you'll know is, well, how do they get a lot of the ladies into the Order of the Eastern Star? Well, again, just Freemasonry. The ladies say, hey, I want to be part of this. Or the husbands encourage me to be part of it. And so the men's got their kind of thing and the ladies got this thing, the Order of the Eastern Star. But they go recruiting. We're going to see this at the end tonight. They have youth groups, right? And one of them is Job's daughters. And the other one is Rainbow Girls. And it says, and I quote from OES, they allow folks as they go through these subgroups, the Job's daughters, Rainbow Groups, and they pull them into, when they're done there, into the adult group, Order of the Eastern Star. So these guys don't wait for people. Again, I tell you, you give them an A-plus on evangelism. They don't wait, man. They're out there. They got a whole program in place. And the sad thing is they bring this into the church. And what we're going to see in a second, these so-called youth groups, you know, churches all the time, they're hurting. Can find people to even, will even serve, help out. Who wants to work with the youth, right? And so I'm telling you, I've dealt with this personally in an internship I had in Sacramento, California. It became a replacement for the church youth group, boys and girls. And then when I was asked to come and start a youth group there, okay, and I did, my wife and I, they still wouldn't give this up. Caused a ruckus. Because I said, what in the world are you doing going to a Freemasonry group? I don't care what you say it is. You need to choose this day whom you will serve, right? And boy, I was unpopular. And it wasn't so much from the kids, you know what it was? The parents sitting in the pews. Freemasons in the church today. But these guys are out there actively evangelizing. Watch this.
This video is directed to those of you who are leaders in a church. Maybe you're a pastor, you're a teacher, a deacon, whatever God has called you to do. And maybe you're unfamiliar with Freemasonry. If you have a church member approach you about Freemasonry, I'm asking you to pay attention and pay heed to what he or she may be telling you. I myself have had an experience a couple of times in my former church where I approached the leadership about Freemasons infiltrating our church with their doctrines and recruiting other men to be involved, as well as women who are involved in the Order of the Eastern Star, which is the female version of Freemasonry. And I was dismissed and ignored, pretty much just told, don't worry about it, let it go. Totally ignored, totally dismissed.
I got a theory that goes like this. Maybe because the pastor and leadership are Freemasons. Been there, done that, folks. This stuff really goes on. They've infiltrated not just the world, they've infiltrated the church. And again, I'll go back to this. I don't know if you guys recall the stat I shared from a couple years ago now. And one particular statistic, it used to be 25%. In fact, let's do a little history. 25% of professing Christians believe that all religions are basically the same. That's what started me many years ago. I think I was probably 13 when I started the occult studies. Basically the world religions, cults, and the occult studies. From the very beginning. Start with the introduction of the Jewish people, Islam, went through all the various religions. Then we got into all the cults, the pseudo-Christian cults, Catholicism, Seventh-day Adventism, Mormon, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, all that stuff. Seventh-day Adventism. And then we got into the cults, and then now we're in a cult secret society. But what started was that stat. And I'm going like, wait a second, that's 1/4 of the church believes that all religions are the same? A couple years into that study, I came across another one. It had risen to about 50 to 52%. And then a couple years ago, if you recall, I shared another survey that said it was right at just under 70% of people who profess to be Christians believe that all religions. Where's this coming from? Well, Satan, of course, absolutely. But, you know, New Age, the Pope, secular society. But I'm telling you, it's also the core of Freemasonry. And these guys have infiltrated the church. And if you don't think that that's starting to dictate the beliefs of the church, when these guys take control, you're fooling yourself. This is what's going on. The second one, the ladies, we're still in the ladies, is the Order of the Aramith. Okay, again, another one. This was found in 1873. It was based on the Order of Aramante, created by a lady named Queen Christina of Sweden. But then she got abdicated. And then in 1860... a guy in New Jersey picks it up and starts to create this kind of new outside of the order, Eastern Star, now this order, named after what this Christina, Queen Christina, started. And then it was further finalized under Freemasonry by Robert McCoy in 1873. And initially what the plan was from the Freemasons was the Eastern Star was going to be the first degree. And then eventually you get to the third degree, which would have been this one. And that was the initial plan. It was going to be now a degree set up for ladies to work through, like with the guys. But they eventually went their own separate ways. And so you have the Order of the Eastern Star, but you also have this one. And again, they pitch themselves as just, we're here to help people out, learn life skills and all this baloney, blah, blah, blah. They're organizing courts, grand courts. They have a supreme council. The ladies are called Honorable Lady. The guys that are involved are called Sir Knight. And just like the Shriners, what's the Shriner smokescreen? They're just a bunch of guys, man, helping kids out, doing great things for hospitals. These guys, their big smokescreen is they're big on the, quote, Aramith Diabetes Foundation. That's their big thing. Not Shriners Hospital, but this one, the Diabetes Foundation, that they've raised millions of dollars for. And so, again, there's nothing to worry about. It's just a do-gooders club for ladies, and we're here to help the community. Yeah, whatever. But that is how they pitch it. Watch this.
The Order of the Aramith is a fraternal organization that operates in the United States, Canada, Australia, Philippines, and other countries. It is a Masonic-affiliated group, meaning that its membership is predominantly composed of individuals with Masonic connections, including Master Masons, their female relatives, and other female relatives of deceased Master Masons. The Order of the Aramith was founded in 1873 in New York City by Robert McCoy, a prominent Freemason. The term Aramith refers to an imaginary flower that never fades, symbolizing the enduring nature of the order's principles. The Order of the Aramith is structured into local courts, which are the basic units of the organization. Each court is presided over by a royal matron and a royal patron. The organization emphasizes principles of love, truth, faith, and charity, promoting friendship, moral values, and social service among its members, with a primary focus on supporting the community through charitable activities and fostering a spirit of fellowship and goodwill among its members.
Huh? Who needs ladies' Bible studies? This guy's got it going, man. Okay, Order of Eastern Star didn't float your boat. Ladies, you can do a great thing. Feel good about yourself. Prove how good you are. Do good things and good... It's a false gospel, folks. But that's how they pitch themselves. Oh, we're here just to help the community. As in the order of the Eastern Star, so it is with this order. You must be 18 and older. The women must be related to Masons as wives, mothers, daughters, widows, sisters, nieces, aunts, or ect. So if you're an ect, they'll let, whatever, I'm just, okay. And guess what? Guess who also recruits and how they recruit future members of this Masonic Ladies Order? You know where they go? They go from a pool of youth called Job's Daughters, Rainbow Girls. They build in their replacements. They work them into that position. They're great at evangelism. Now, let's go into the fourth branch. This is what I call auxiliary or social Freemasonry. And basically, in a nutshell, this is a ton of subgroups of Freemasonry. They have splint off different branches, this and that. I mean, they're all over the place. I cannot cover them all. I'm going to hit the highlights of one of them that may sound familiar, and I'm just going to rip through a list of them just so you know how many different branches are out there. But it's all at the core Freemasonry. You call yourself by a different name, I don't care. It's still Freemasonry to the core. There's too many of them, but they're everywhere. But here's some of the honorable mentions. You got the Allied Masonic Degrees. You got the Council of the Nine Muses. You got the Daughters of the Nile. You got the Grand College of Rites. The Heroes of 76. High 12 International. Knight Masons. Knight Beneficent of the Holy City. Knights of the York Cross of Honor. Masonic Order of Athelstan. Masonic Order of Pilgrim Preceptors. And National Sojourners. Now that one, I think we've heard of. And the reason why is because that one is connected with the military. Wait a second. And I didn't know this until I did the research. This was a bombshell. And I quote, National Sojourners is an American patriotic organization of Freemasons who served in the armed forces. The stated purpose is to organize active duty in veterans of the armed forces of the United States who are Masons. So it's Masons now infiltrating the military. That's what National Sojourners is. And guess what? They have their own corps that they train up to go into it. And you know what it's called? ROTC or JROTC. And that's why I got the pitch up there. This sounds like, no, you're crazy now. This is from the Scottish Rite Freemasonry website. And they admit it. Who are they working with? We just thought, we got duped, folks. We just thought it was just young men involved, and this is kind of going to give them a leg up and help them get involved in the men. No, it's going to get them connected with Freemasonry. Nothing against the military, but my point is these guys are everywhere, folks. They're in the world. They're governments around the world, even our own country. They're in churches. They're in also the military. And that's what's going on here. Now, for those of you who doubt, here's some Masons having their own little Zoom meeting and their own little channel. And they admit this is what National Sojourners really is. It's a Freemasonry organization whose purpose is to go into the government and the military. Watch this.
Last but not least, our special guest for this evening, that would be Worshipful Brother Shelby Chandler. Shelby, lay us down your Masonic biography, your Masonic resume.
Well, first of all, thank you, brethren. Greetings. My name is Shelby Chandler. I am past master of Fredericksburg Lodge in Virginia, Lodge number 4. I was the charter master for the George Washington Lodge of Research, 1732, in 2012. And I am currently the district education officer for the 8th Masonic District in Virginia. And I serve at the will and pleasure of the Grand Master on his committee on history.
There is a veterans an active duty membership affinity lodge called the National Sojourners, which we'll get into how it operates, the history, and all of that. And so, without further ado, Brother Shelby, will you please kind of tell us what is the National Sojourners?
Well, essentially, National Sojourners is an independent body of Freemasonry that consists of brothers who are active or have served and retired military Masons, and they also Master Masons who are honorary members, and it's for the purpose of bringing together those who have served, those patriotism, and what we do is we help out, we serve Masonry, and we serve the military cause and defense and support of military personnel, as well as any interest in the government.
Guys are everywhere. Wow. Everywhere. Was it just me? Because I had to deal with this and still deal with this in ministry, but I noticed about at least 20 years ago, there was a switch going on, not just in hospitals, but in the military. And the big brouhaha was, if you're going to be a chaplain in the military, what's one thing that you can't say or pray? Jesus. Why? Why is it that even our own military, now it's standard procedure, you got to have this one world religion mindset? Wonder where that came from. Wonder who's pushing that agenda. Also, just a couple more. Out there, York Wright College, the Societas Rosicruciana Civitatibus Fideris. That's the Masonic Rosicrucians, kind of like the Illuminati. That's another subsect, things of that nature. Red Cross of Constantine, St. Thomas of Akon, A-C-O-N, the Operatives, Grotto, also known as the Mystic Order of the Veiled Prophets of the Enchanted Realm, the Order of the White Shrine of Jerusalem, the Ancient Egyptian Order of Sciots, S-C-I-O-T-S, Tall Cedars of Lebanon, Philalethes Society, the Social Order of the Bureaucrat, Society of Blue Friars, the Operatives, UGIC, Red Cross of Constantine, and Ye Ancient Order of Noble Corks. And with that, we're going to put a cork in it, move on to the next thing. But my point is, you guys can see that they're everywhere, man. In a multitude of branches that, again, you got to give them A+ for evangelism. And they do, unfortunately, a lot better in a lot of churches. It's sad. Which leads us to the fifth one tonight real quick, and that's the youth ministries. These guys are out there evangelizing the world. Men, women, military, government, and the youth. And they are preparing the youth to be a Freemason for life. And let me break it down for you. For the guys, they have this one. It's called DMLA. Right? This is huge. This one, again, I dealt with directly. Personally. And this is basically DMLA International. DMLA, it's a Freemasonry organization for young men between 12 and 21, founded in 1919. You're going like, why is it DMLA? Well, it was named after Jacques DMLA, who was supposed to be the Grand Master of the Knights Templar, right? And so the order was founded by a guy named Frank Land, a Freemason, in 1919 in Kansas City. And what started it was, the story goes that he was, you know, seeing a bunch of young men, you know, didn't have necessarily a good father at home or whatever. And so he starts meeting with them at the Masonic Lodge. And so he's telling them all these Freemasonry stories, including stories of Jacques DMLA. And they say, hey, how about we call our group DMLA? So that's how it got it kind of started. Then it became formalized and accepted as an official Masonic thing. But that's kind of how it started, okay? But the purpose is to help young men develop civic awareness, personal responsibility, and leadership skills. Now, who doesn't need that? So don't worry. This is just a great community group for young men to be great leaders. And of course, that's how they pitch it. Watch this.
DMLA, building tomorrow's leaders today. That might seem like quite a hefty goal to some, but to us, it's child's play. Founded in 1919, DMLA is a fraternity for young men ages 12 to 21. Our goal is simple yet decisive. Build tomorrow's leaders today through teamwork, a lot of fun, and youth-led events. DMLA creates more than just connections and leadership skills. It creates brotherhood.
Unlike other organizations, the DMLA advisors advise. Every decision, every event, and every success is because of the DMLAs.
Now that you know what we are, I bet you're wondering what we do. Because we run DMLA, we can do anything.
During my term, I took the young men of DMLA to a shooting range.
When I was president of North Star Chapter, we put on a mini golf tournament.
When I was president, my chapter competed in sports day, and we won the gold.
DMLA is a massive international fraternity.
Chapters are in all 50 states and in several countries, including but not limited to Canada, Italy, and Brazil. Brothers are given amazing opportunities to travel from city to city, state to state, and even country to country.
We make friends today
that last forever
with a chapter near you.
Don't delay, join DMLA.
Huh? Who needs a youth group, man? These guys are doing it for you. And that's exactly what I experienced at a Baptist church. This was their youth group. I came along, started one, and they would not give this up. And the biggest antagonists, I'm telling you, were the parents in the church. You think, well, surely it's good. No, it's not. And stop calling me Shirley. And I quote, one of the requirements for belief for these young men into DMLA is, quote, a belief in a supreme being. And again, that's whatever you want to make it. That's not biblical. Members include, quote, Christians, Jews, Mormons, Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims, and others. Does the Bible say that we're supposed to yoke with folks like that? Absolutely not. 2 Corinthians 6, we saw that before. Then, in DMLA, again, it's just like miniature men Freemasonry. The candidate is blindfolded. Remember, that's what's called hoodwinked. That's the Freemason. You're hoodwinked with the blindfold. And it symbolizes your lack of knowledge. Well, if you're saying you're a Christian, you got all the knowledge you need. And so the ritual is, I got to blind my fold and say, no, apparently I don't have it. I got to get it from you guys. That's not biblical. The candidate is also told in DMLA, the purpose of our ceremonies is to impress upon your minds the great truths of right living to aid you in deserving the good opinion of all right-thinking men. Is that biblical? Could any of us live rightly without Christ? And what? No, it's completely unbiblical. Romans chapter 3. And furthermore, DMLA's chapter includes members from more than one religion, as I stated, more than one holy so-called book, as we saw with the other 33. And so, and how can you merge that? What did James say? You sit there and say you're a Christian, and you want to use this as your church youth group? You're hating God. You're hostile to God. You wicked, adulterous people. What are you doing? You can't merge the two. And that's what these guys are doing. And again, they say that the Bible is a symbolic tool. Excuse me? All scripture, all of this, and only this, is God-breathed, inspired by God. It's the only book that we ever need, 2 Timothy 3:16. And listen to, I'll just give you one example, the oath. Again, it's just like mini-man Freemasonry. In the presence of God, this is one of their oaths from DMLA. In the presence of God, again, what God? And of his holy word, which word? On my honor, okay, I solemnly promise, quote, that I will keep all the secrets entrusted to me by this order. And I promise that I will love and serve God, again, what God? As a devout worshiper, listen specifically, at the shrine of faith. Notice it wasn't church. And that I will serve my fellow men in the spirit of, quote, universal brotherhood. The shrine of faith is spoken of in the oath as the faith that all religions are praying to the same God. That's exactly what Pope John Paul II did in the 80s when he invited all the religions to come and had the Dalai Lama put the Buddha on the altar and said that they're all praying to the same God. Same heresy. And the universal father creating a universal brotherhood, again, that we're all the same. No. This is in direct conflict with the teachings of the scripture. It has no business being in a church, but it's everywhere. Now, that's the guys. The girls is this thing, as I mentioned, Rainbow Girls. Also known as the International Order of Rainbow Girls, or IORG, for those of you hooked on the acronyms. But basically, again, it's the now Masonic recruit for young girls, and they're there to, quote, learn about value and charity and service through their work and service products, you know, trying to be a good person. And it's from 11 to 20 years old. You got to have a family connection with Freemasonry. Now, if you can see with that picture there, there's a symbol. They're all about symbols, right? The symbols are a pot of gold, a rainbow, two clasped hands with the initials BFCNL, standing for, wait for it, Bible, okay, flag, hey, not bad, Constitution, huh, and the L, lambskin, and that's that thing we saw, the Freemasonry that symbolizes their self-righteousness, that they're working, right, and again, they do this, they try to pepper it like, and this is how they suck people in, even professing Christians, even professing churches, right, but it refers to them. The history, of course, is 1922 by this guy, listen, Reverend Mark Sexton. He's the guy that started this, a supposed pastor, in 1922, right? And he was speaking at the Order of the Eastern Star in Oklahoma, as the story goes. The Order of DMLA had already got started Okay, and then so he pitched to them, the Order of the Eastern Star, hey, we need to do an organization for the young women. And so they did. 1922, 171 young women started, and they based this out of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. And again, of course, how did they pitch it? Hey, we're just here for the girls. You know, we're doing good for the guys, teaching them how to be young leaders. Hey, it's great for girls too. They can learn social skills. They can learn to become a leader too. And believe it or not, guess what? They allow these people to speak in schools. Not you and I. But the Freemasons, watch this. This is crazy.
Tonight, we're pretty fortunate. We've got a girl with us tonight. Her name is Laura Pearson Hicks. Her dad, Dr. Daniel Pearson, is a past master of Oak Cliff Lodge. Her grandfather was a Mason, and her great-grandfather was also a Mason. So what I'd like to do is introduce Laura to you and let Laura tell you a little bit about herself. Go ahead, Laura.
Thank you. Rainbow journey actually started here at Oak Cliff Lodge, and I owe a lot to Oak Cliff Lodge because the Masons were the ones who first proposed the idea of joining Rainbow Girls when I was 12 years old, and that was a very influential part of my upbringing and my young adult life. I joined Rainbow when I was 12, and I loved it so much that my mom and I traveled the state, and we went all over, and I eventually wound up running for the state line for the Grand Assembly of Texas, and I became Grand Worthy Advisor in 2010, and I served in 2011. So the Masonic family has been something very important to me, and being in Rainbow Girls has kind of taught me a lot of leadership skills, delegating, ways to manage my time, running a meeting. I went to university at the University of Texas at Dallas, and there I joined a sorority, and I continued using those skills that I learned in Rainbow.
I'm a Rainbow Girl. I know. It sounds a little silly, but in the next few minutes, I will be explaining exactly what that is and the culture behind the International Order of the Rainbow Girls.
I was in a school. How come you get to get in there? How come we don't get to get in there and promote the new youth group of the Houstons? Think that would ever happen? You know what my guess is? I wonder how many Freemasons are on that school board and school principal and school teachers. That's why, folks. It's crazy. I remember one time we had checked into getting my nephew into a Christian school. And this was like our last straw. We said homeschool all the way. And I find out that his school that he was going to, as we're checking in on this to try to get him out of public education, Mormons were coming in there. Mormons, flat out Mormons, dressed in their exciting white shirt and tie and all, you know, the garb. Can't hide from their Mormons, but flat out Mormons. And they're doing assemblies at the school, secular school. And I'm going like, listen, I don't agree. And I think it's completely historically out of context, separation of church and state. And that was completely unbiblical. It's not what the founders, that's a whole other argument. But be that as it may, using your perverted version that is unbiblical and it's not historical of the phrase separation church and state, why are these guys in here? Oh, they're just here to help the kids out. And you want to boil it down to? Guess who was involved in the high places in that school? Mormons. Same thing with Freemasonry, man. They opened the doors. They let them in. The International Rainbow Girls, Order of Rainbow Girls, 46 states, the United States, several countries, Aruba, Australia, Bolivia, Brazil, Canada, Paraguay, Philippines, Italy, Mexico, Romania, Cuba, Germany, France, Panama, Vietnam. Just like the boys, DMLA, I've skipped over that part. They're all over the world too. And just like the boys, Rainbow Girls also have their secret rituals, including this one.
I just want to make a video about the Rainbow Girls. I used to be in the Rainbow Girls, and I know that it is not a good thing for your kids to be in a good organization, whatever you want to call it. And it's not good for your kids to be in that. I was in it, I think, starting from about 7th grade until sometime in high school, maybe 10th or 11th grade. I'm not even sure. And I don't remember as much as I think I should be able to remember about it. But there was an initiation in the Rainbow Girls that I was in. the person was asking kind of like a riddle, and you had to answer it. And if you didn't answer it right, you had to take off a piece of clothing. So with me, I took off my ponytail holder, my socks, and I think I took off two or three things, and then I realized what it was. But there were some girls that were in their bra and underwear, and I think that's too far. Some people might laugh and say, it's just silly. But I think that it's just not right.
We could have a whole study of all the accusations of what's going on in these Masonic lodges, folks. It ain't good. She goes on to say that at least the one that she was a part of, the parents basically drop their kids off because these are basically held in Masonic lodges. Sometimes they'll be churches, but run by Masons. And parents aren't allowed for at least the first couple of years. Or even, let's say even if they were, what would parents do? You're going to watch my kids for me? Crazy stuff that's going on. Let me give you one more and we'll close it up. Job's Daughters. It's another Freemason organization sucking in more young girls. Job's Daughters International. Women age 10 to 20. They also go by Jobies, if you're out there. They call themselves Jobies, JDI. And I quote, Job's Daughters welcomes many religions and cultures. And the only prerequisite, again, is a belief in a supreme being. You get to fill in the blank. It's completely unbiblical, whatever. And it promotes a quote, this phrase, where girls rule. So if you know a young girl who has feminist tendencies, she's going to really love this place. But it was founded in the 1920 by a lady named Mrs. Ethel T. Weed Mick and her husband, Dr. William Mick, and basically Freemasons. And she's with the Order Eastern Star. He's a Freemason. And they said, hey, we need to get a girls' youth group going. Long story short, it did. Job's Daughter is growing again, international now, just like with Rainbow Girls. It's in the United States, Canada, Australia, Philippines, Brazil. And again, how they pitch themselves, it's all about helping young girls. And what young girls don't need help with this? Character building, moral, and this is their words, not mine, spiritual development. Oh, but we're not a religion. Liars. Loyalty, the flag and country. Respect for parents, okay? You know, it's so hard to find people to help in the church. And maybe you need a good youth group for your girls. Well, hey, we'll do the job for you. Here's how to pitch it.
Job's Daughters is
one big family.
Job's Daughters is home.
It's a safe place.
Powerful.
Exhilarating.
Fantastic.
Family.
Beautiful.
Accepting.
Sisterhood.
Exciting.
Loving.
The best ever.
Job's Daughters teaches social skills.
Leadership.
Kindness.
Confidence.
Courage.
Job's Daughters has given me the opportunity to travel.
Job's Daughters is for young women.
Job's Daughters is life-changing.
Friendship.
Empowering.
It's like a second family.
It's friendship for life.
I love Job's Daughters.
We are Job's Daughters!
See? Need a youth group in a can? You know who to call. Call Freemasons. Dee Malay, Rainbow Girls, Job's Daughters. Now, part of how they suck people in, again, what do? They always pepper this with what? Biblical language. Job's Daughters. Job, that's a book in the Bible. It's got to be Christian. No. They want to say it's based on Job, the book of Job. Watch. And they say, because they take Job, and this key words there, they take Job, the book of Job, as it shows Masonic ideas are imperishable. That's not what the book of Job says, right? Plus, in theory, you don't derive your beliefs, even as a Christian, from one book in the Bible. It's the whole Bible. So either way, you got it wrong. You don't even get that right, okay? And Job's Daughters, like Freemasonry, teaches that all religions are praying to the same God but are simply approaching by a different path, heresy. They also teach that only Freemasonry knows the true name of God and has the, quote, best teaching for, quote, gaining eternal life. That's not biblical, right? And then let me give you just real quick, this is some of their rituals. They got rituals just like Freemasonry. Again, this is just basically Freemasonry for young girls. The fourth messenger, when speaking of her duty, says, quote, it signifies that righteous service will lead to eternal life, direct quote. That's what you're teaching these girls? You got this stuff in your church? Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life, John 14. The recorder that goes on to the next person says that while performing her duties, quote, it signifies that my every act should be as the recording angel would have it in her book of life. What? There is no recording angel, period. Okay. Number one, and the book of life belongs to Jesus Christ, the Lamb, the book of life. And nothing pure will ever enter into that. And the only way you're getting your name in there is through him and him alone, not through Freemasonry. Heresy. The chaplain presiding, and again, what are we talking about? Job's daughters. Presiding at their altar during the ritual tells us, quote, it signifies that piety, religion, and reverence for sacred things is the beacon of lights of life. No, who's the light of life? Who's the light of the world? Jesus Christ, right? Where's the truth illuminated to us? Jesus Christ, the words of God, his word, etc., right? Okay, and the Bible says, if you don't have this light and you don't have the light of God, you're in darkness. That's what they're preaching. And then finally, Job's daughters themselves, the individuals, they say, and I quote, the ritual work of the order is based on the triangle, which is supposed to be these three things. The three daughters of Job, the open book, and education, which combines Latin and ancient Greek stuff of the ages. So what they do is they intermingle geometry, scripture, science with symbols, ancient religions, and philosophy. Is that Christian? Is that where we get all of our truth from? And you're going to have this as your so-called youth group? You're going to encourage people in your church to do this? This is absolutely nuts, right? And again, a couple of quick honorable mentions. Other youth organizations, as we close out, you have what's called the Order of the Knights of Pythagoras. That's for boys 8 to 18. That's the Prince Hall Freemasonry. Remember, that's this American Freemasonry for Black African Americans. Well, they have their own youth group as well for young men called the Order of the Knights of Pythagoras. There's the AGEF for boys 14 to 21 in Mexico and Latin America, and the Organization of Triangles, another young ladies Masonic organization for 10 to 21. So as we close, if we haven't seen enough in 8 studies now, proof that Freemasonry is completely unbiblical, it's a false gospel, it is a religion, even though they say it's not. Even as we quoted, Freemasons admit it's a religion, but then say it's not a religion. It is a satanic secret society. They really are infiltrating the world. They really are the ones promoting a one-world government. We need to submit ourselves under a one-world Luciferian ruler. They are promoting, as we saw, a one-world religion. That's why it's on the increase everywhere, even in America, even in churches. But speaking of the Antichrist kingdom, guess what Freemasons also happen to be promoting? A Mark of the Beast type tracking system. And I quote, this is their website, My Chip. My Chip. Right? And guess who gets airtime promoting chipping your kids with their My Chip thing? It's crazy. Watch this. This is nuts.
Parents here in Connecticut are now able to track their children with this new CT chip, it's called.
Yeah, the Connecticut Freemasons are bringing this program to communities around the state, also to Barbarino Nissan. It's happening on Saturday. Executive Manager Brittany Barbarino with CT Chip Volunteer, April Mercure, and Frank Mangero. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Brittany, let's start with you. Why did you guys decide to have an event like this?
It's a great event. It's free for parents, and it gives you a kit where it lets you identify your child if something were to happen to them, and it saves hours for police work, and it's really, really important.
And how did the Freemasons become involved in this and sort of...
Well, actually, the Massachusetts Freemasons were doing this, and in 2003, we brought it to the state of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And the information, height, weight, hair color, eye color, and then we also do dental imprints, DNA swab, and which is also a scent sample, pictures, and a video of the child. Yeah, it's a free program. It's free for the parents. You know, we volunteer our time, the Freemasons in Connecticut. There are 9 districts. We have 9 different setups in Connecticut. And so at any given time, on any weekend, there could be a number of CHIP events going on throughout the state.
Wow, this is crucial. I mean, why wouldn't parents everywhere do this? It's right. So important to have on hand.
It's a really good program.
Every plank of what, again, folks, if you don't read this book and go one level deeper, if you don't read in this book Bible prophecy, this is going to go in one ear and out the other. This is the only book that tells you what these Freemasons are up to. They're a part of a Luciferian organization who are laying the groundwork with the other global elites for what only this book tells you what it is. It's called the Antichrist Kingdom. All planks of it is what they're pushing. And they've infiltrated everywhere in society, including the church, preparing people for this. The Bible's the only book that warns about it. By the way, I wonder who started the idea in the church that somehow we don't need to study prophecy. Maybe that was a Freemason whispering that gossip. Or a Freemason who made it onto the church board of Freemasons that says, you ain't preaching that here, Pastor. Makes you wonder. Now, at the bottom of that CHIP website, if you scroll down to the bottom, it says this quote. We cannot always build the future for our youth, quote, but we can what? Build our youth for the future. Who said that? Franklin D. Roosevelt, Freemason. What? They're building our youth for what? The Luciferian order that's coming. Now, speaking of famous Freemasons, Lord willing, for so long I'm still here, that's our next study. These guys are everywhere, man. You pick any arena of life, they're in there, influencing people to go into this. And you wonder why Jesus said, listen, when he comes back, am I going to find any faith? What's going to be left? Started out strong, even our own country, but it's going down the tubes fast. People are jumping on board on this Antichrist kingdom. And what's he say? Here's the dichotomy. Few versus many. How many people are really truly standing for the biblical Christianity and the biblical Christ? The bulk of our world is headed in the wrong direction, even though they go to church services. That's where we're at. But we'll see that, Lord willing, next time. The influential people of Freemasonry. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight, and just thank you for, again, your wonderful, wonderful, strong warning in James. Don't ever try to play on both sides of the fence. We cannot serve two masters. We're either going to love you and follow you like we say we do, or when we try to play both sides of the fence, really what we're saying with our behavior is we hate you and we're your enemy because we've committed spiritual adultery. And not just with the things of this world, as we saw what the word means, the values, the beliefs of this world. If any of that's clung on to us, God, may it come off tonight. May we get back on track with you. May we be, here's a good word, pure in our hearts, our minds, and that we would, again, let our yes be yes and our no be no. If we're going to follow you, we follow you. If we're not, then don't. But I warn you, if that's you, this is not a joke. Jesus Christ is the only way out of this mess. And you want to be saved before it's too late. Because he is coming back. The first time, as a lamb, slaughtered, so that we could be forgiven. This next time, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he's going to dish out the beatings. It's his planet. It's his reign. And nobody's going to stop it, not even the Freemasons. You want to be on the right side, his side. Turn to him before it's too late. Thank you again for our study tonight. Please bless it to these lives that belong to you. We ask all this in your wonderful name. And in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the Scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place, so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus, so that we can now have a relationship with God, both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven. Right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.